knees, shake your head like this. I know what you're talking about, preacher. I don't do that, but I know some people that do. You ever get an old ugly spirit and unforgiveness in your heart, and the days you go around saying they said, and next time I see them I'm going to say, and I should have said, and I've heard people doing stuff like that. Hey man, hey, just shake it loose tonight. Get rid of it. Hallelujah. Lay it down. Boy, I'm really going to get nasty now. Hey, man, you ever have a good little problem between you and your wife? Woo, brother, watch where you're going. Hey, man, the house feels like a refrigerator when it's 110 outside. Hey, man, you know how to fix that? Shake some things loose. Hey, man. Do some forgiving. Hey, man, brother. Brother Fry had it right tonight. It's hard to resist a Holy Ghost hug. Hey, man. Somebody says, honey, I'm sorry. Hey, man. And you got to see. Somewhere you got to dig it up and say, I was wrong. And then they just shake it off. Whoop. And when you do that, amen, all of a sudden it turns the heater on. Hallelujah. And the icicles melt. And you have a foundation for a life. And you have a foundation for a marriage. And you can go on and really live for God, because nothing's going to bind you up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not sure who wrote that song, but he had it right. Yeah, man, we got to shake some things loose tonight. Yeah, man, get rid of some stuff. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, man. We'll sing an old song. It said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. One of our problems is we come to the altar, and then when we get up, we take it back with us. We've had those troubles so long, we'd be lost without them. Wouldn't know what to blame things on. Amen. Hallelujah. Some folks don't know you're supposed to be happy outside of church. Amen. They think once you get home, you're supposed to be sad and mad and... Amen. Oh, no, 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 no. Amen. This is about joy, unspeakable joy. Amen. You can have it all, but even in the midst of trouble, you can still have joy. You can sing in the midnight. You can sing in the prison. You can sing when you're bound up on the outside, but you're shaking loose on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's get in our word here tonight. I'm going to go to John chapter 8, verse number 31. While you're turning there, let me say a lot of thanks today to a lot of people, all of you that worked for the service this morning. It was beautiful. It was very wonderful. Amen. I enjoyed everything. All of you singers, amen, from the little class all the way up to the upper room, you, thank you. Did a splendid job. Amen. Sister Lane did a great job as a storyteller. Amen. Enjoyed every bit of that today. It was just really, really tremendous. I want to say a big thank you to Brother Hart and to Brother Robbie Morris. Helped us. We've been installing an air conditioner next door. It's going to cost $3,500 to get it installed. And so we rolled up our sleeves and went to work. Amen. And we've installed it so far for about $2,000 less than that. So due to a lot of hard work, thank you so very, very much. Amen. I appreciate that. And all the work that everybody does around here, some of it goes unnoticed, cleaning the churches and the buildings and vacuuming the carpets and cleaning the restrooms and all of that. But somebody does it. Thank you. Offerings that you give, again, thank you. I do want to say tonight, and I'll not belabor the point, but our electric bill this month was $1,500. That's pretty steep. We did have a little cushion, but we erased that. And guess what? Next month's probably not going to be a whole lot better. Amen. So what we're going to ask you to do when you give that offering, you know, if you see a lonely dollar or two there, just give them some company. Amen. And if we can if everybody can increase a little bit, then it'll help us get through this hot season. Amen. It's just been brutally hot, hasn't it? We're doing the best we can. I know it's not as cool tonight as it ought to be. I had to take off my pretty coat and hang it over there. So y'all just going to have to put up my ugly blue shirt. Because it's hot. But if you think it's hot in here, just step outside a few minutes and step back in. You'll appreciate it. All right. Thank you so very much. God bless you. We're going tonight to the book of John, to the 8th chapter and the 31st and the 32nd verse. John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse number 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said in his prayer in the garden, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." I want to preach on a redundant subject tonight, the truth about truth. I know that sounds redundant, but it's not. We're living in a time when truth has to be defined, and we have to examine it over and over again. We have to find ourselves founded in it and upon it. So I want to talk to you about the truth, about truth. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Truth is defined in the dictionary as conformity to fact or actuality, a statement proven to be accepted as true. It is synonymous with sincerity and integrity, actuality and reality. Truth. Well, and then, of course, God is truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." And no one else has ever made such a statement. When Jesus was standing before Pilate in his condemnation, just a moment before the crucifixion and the cross, Pilate asked the resounding question, "What is truth?" I would like to try tonight to shed some light on the subject, and hopefully we can leave here with a better understanding and a greater appreciation for truth. There is power in truth. Truth will hold you when falsehood will fail you. Truth is something that you can build a house on that will stand every storm, and nothing will ever tear it down. Truth came into the world 2,000 years ago in Jesus Christ, and he founded a church, and he said, "Upon this rock, this foundational truth," he said, "I will build my church." And he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And everything that can be thrown at the church has thrown itself against the church. They tried to intimidate it, but they couldn't. They tried to persecute it, but they couldn't. They tried to burn it, but it wouldn't burn. They fed it to wild animals, and they couldn't eat the church. Nothing they did to the church prevailed. We read accounts in Fox's Book of Martyrs where they were marching Christians to their death, and they were singing, and I'm sure they were talking in tongues, and they were praying, and they were worshiping God, though they had stripped them of their garments, and they were marching them in the snow and the cold and the ice. But it did not stop the fire that was burning on the inside of them. I'm told that there were Roman soldiers that actually took off their garments and joined that troop of people because they heard the ring of truth, and they experienced truth, and they were so overwhelmed when they saw truth personified in the church. And guess what? We got to stand tonight for truth. It's not time to let down or let up, give in or give out, but it's time to stand for truth. Amen. Truth is powerful. Truth is, well, it's of great value. People understood that in ancient times. Proverbs 23:23 said, buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom and instruction and understanding. Somebody said about our generation and about our nation, that we know the price of all things, but the value of nothing. We have $200 tennis shoes. And then we know people can name, they can tell you the brand and what it cost. And they look at somebody's name written on your garment and they ooh and they ah because they know how much it cost, but they know nothing of value. The Bible said that truth has fallen in the street. And people walk on it and scoff and stand and boast that they can lie their way out of anything. Amen. We've lost our way as a nation, but thank God the church still knows what truth is, and we're bound on it, and we're built on it, and we stand on it, and we value truth. Amen. One of the great characteristics of truth is that it's absolute. It started perhaps in the 60s. 50s and the 60s in classrooms when they began to tell us that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Everybody has truth. You have your truth and I have my truth. And you follow your truth and I'll follow my truth. No such thing. Truth is absolute. The truth is absolute. One writer said that truth consists of having the same idea about something that God has. You know what truth is? If you can get God's idea, that's truth. And He's given us His ideas. And He's given us His idea, His opinion. He has given us His Word. And this is truth. Amen. There's a lot of ideas, there's a lot of theories, there's a lot of philosophies, but this is still truth. God's Word is truth. God's Word is final. God's Word is absolute. It's amazing how things catch on. We are living in a day when we go by statistics. Did you know that 93.6 of all statistics are made up on the spot? And I just made that up. But that's right. But you read in the newspaper, you hear on a newscast that 64% of Americans believe this. And that's supposed to make it true. 64% of the people can be wrong. 100% of the people can be wrong. So, but we're trained in our logic and our thinking. If we're not careful, we can be swayed by statistics. Somebody said that figures lie. What is it? And liars figure. So that may be, I don't know. Our figures don't lie, but liars figure. So maybe that's the way it goes. But we do know that we live in an age of so much stuff about statistics. And so many people believe that Jesus is right. So many percentage of people believe that in baptism. So many people believe that in God. So many people don't believe in God. So what? So what? That does not change truth. I've heard people say, well, I belong to so-and-so church because that many people couldn't be wrong. Yes, they can. The majority's got to be right. Did you ever hear of a man called Noah? He and his family, 8 souls, said, we believe God. We're going to build a boat. We're going to get in it. And they did. And the majority said, oh, we don't believe that. Amen. So the majority's not always right. Hear me today. And young people, listen. That doesn't make people right just because there's a lot of them. They may still be very wrong. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4 said, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. So what if somebody says, I don't believe that? So what if the president would say it, or if your teacher should say it, or even if your parents should say it? I'm telling you today, truth prevails. It's absolute. It doesn't change. I've heard people say, well, you know, we're living in a new day. Yes, we are. But it doesn't change truth. Truth is still the same. We live in a day of tolerance. You know who preaches tolerance? People that don't like what you believe. People that talk about tolerance, they want you to forsake what you believe and believe what they believe. Tolerance really is that I'll still believe truth. And if you want to believe something else, you have the liberty to do so. That doesn't mean that I have to tell you that you're right. That doesn't mean that I forsake my beliefs to follow you. Tolerance is that we can live together on the same planet and you can believe something different than I do and I can still believe what I believe to be true. And if you're a genuinely tolerant individual, you shouldn't try to change that. Or try if you may. But if I don't change, then you shouldn't condemn me as being ignorant or a bigot or a homophobe or something else just because I don't agree with your ideas. But that's what is taught as tolerance and diversity. There's always been diversity. Amen. The thing about Christianity, folks, is we are tolerant. We believe we're right, but we won't kill somebody if they don't agree with us. Now, I know that some did, but they were wrong. There are some church groups, they were not Christians. Christians don't act like that. I said Christians don't act like that. Christians don't persecute people just because they don't agree with you. Christians allow other people to believe what they want to believe, and they try to change them by their testimony. by living a righteous and a good and a godly life and showing the love of God to them. That's how you change people. You don't beat them up. You don't put them in prison. You don't persecute them. You don't kill them. And you don't try to say bad things about them. People are loved in the truth. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you slap them up beside the head with the truth. That don't work, does it? Well, I like steak, but don't slap me up beside the head with it. Put it on a platter. Cook it the way I like it. Surround it with a steaming sweet potato with some cinnamon and sugar on there and a little butter melting. And woo! Some buttery Texas toast on the side. Now we're talking. Hey, man, you want to get my attention. That's the way you serve it. Hey, man. But you want to get somebody's attention, tell them the truth. Make it presentable. Amen. Make it as beautiful as you can make it. Back it up with your testimony. Back it up with your lifestyle. Back it up with your living. Back it up with the love of God. Amen. So truth and tolerance. And truth is, it doesn't change for tolerance's sake. But truth does not try to persuade others by force. You can't force anybody to believe this. You can't force anybody to believe the truth. If somebody says they do under duress, they really don't love the truth. The Scripture says, love the truth. The Bible said that there are some folks that in the end it said they're going to be deceived. Because they receive not a love for the truth. So we not only have truth, but we have to love truth. Amen. Because you stand for something, this world's going to call you names. Didn't they do that to the early church? First thing they did, I mean, they hadn't even got a day out yet before they come and all they did was on the way to prayer meeting and they picked this guy up by the hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What's wrong with that? But they arrested him because he did it in Jesus' name. And they brought him in and the Bible says that they said, you're ignorant. You're unlearned. So what? But I know Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm not against education. I'm all for it. But education won't save you. Amen. Praise God. Ignorance doesn't help you either, but education won't save you. But what it will do is it'll make you better at your job. There's nothing wrong with getting a good education. Amen. It's a good thing, but it won't save you. But it shouldn't cause you to be lost either. Please listen, young people. When you get in school and you start hearing things that are not truth, just because you're in school, don't accept it at face value. They start telling you, there was one professor that I heard about, and he, if you didn't believe in evolution, you could not pass his class. Well, that's one class I'd have to fail. There are things that you'll be exposed to, but you don't have to believe it. Amen. Somebody else can believe it if they want to, but you don't have to. The whole class may believe it, but that doesn't mean you have to do it. You just go ahead and stand for truth. Because you know truth. When you know it, you just stand on it. Amen. Praise God. Now, we should never be rude or hurtful or unkind. Amen. Just know the truth. Believe the truth. Live in the confidence and the peace and the joy of truth. Amen. And people notice that. Amen. Yes, they do. They might not agree, but they'll take note if we believe truth. Praise God. So we have people today that say, well, you know, you've got your truth and I got my truth. I've heard people use this so many times. They say, well, Pastor, there are many roads that lead to Chicago. Well, that's true. But I'm not going to Chicago. That has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and truth. If I was going to Chicago, I'd get on one of them. But that's not where we're going. Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. He said, except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That sounds to me like there's just one way. So if you want to go to Chicago, there's all kinds of ways. Take off. But if you're coming to God, there's just one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. I know that's truth, but truth is very narrow. Amen. We could have a discussion here tonight, and somebody could say, I believe that it's 50 million miles to the sun. And somebody else could say, oh, no, no. I believe it's 150 million miles to the sun. And then you could say, well, brother, you go ahead and believe 50 million. I'll believe 150 million. And we'll just agree and disagree. But the fact is, it's about 93 million miles to the sun. So if you believe it's 50 million miles, you'll freeze to death. Amen. You believe it's 150, you're sure enough freeze to death. Or burn a crispy critter as you go past. Amen. But it's still 93 million miles of the sun. What if you went down to the service station? Gas is $3.54 was yesterday when I filled up. And you filled up your tank and you put 20 gallons in your tank and you looked and your gas gauge just went halfway. And you called the manager out there and you said, sir, something wrong. My tank holds 20 gallons and it's showing. He said, oh, well, you know, what we think is a gallon and what you think is a gallon is two different things. We just decided that we would believe that a gallon is, it's two quarts instead of four. And that's our belief. That's what we believe. You can believe it's four quarts and we'll believe it's two quarts and we can just agree to disagree. Yeah, and I'll agree not to do business here anymore. Because you're being cheated. So you see, truth is absolute. And the same people that are trying to force us into the idea of tolerance are the same people that made science a god. And are very intolerant if you don't believe what they believe about science. Even though much of what they believe has been proven to be false. Statistically, 96.2% of it. I just made that up. So truth is absolute. It does not change. Amen. We confirm our convictions and truth by the word of the Lord. 2 Peter 1:12 said, knowing this first, he said, this is the first thing you need to know, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, he says, it doesn't say one thing to you and something else to somebody else. It says what it says and it means what it says. It doesn't have a prophet interpretation. Amen. You can't be like the preacher that said what I preach is more than the truth. Then you better back up a little bit, brother, because you just went too far. Amen. Praise God. So the Bible confirms truth. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, brother, You know, I just want to be honest. That's a good thing. But you know what? You can be honest and be right at the same time. I've heard people say, well, you know, I can't preach standards and these convictions anymore because I want to be honest. Well, you know what? I'm honest and I do believe them. I believe that separation to the Lord is biblical. I believe, be ye holy, for I am holy, is biblical. I believe that there's strength in convictions. Amen. And there's depth in convictions. And when you make some consecrations to God, and there are some things that the world does that you will not do because you believe that to be ungodly, and the Holy Spirit convicts you and lets you know, that's not for me. And you walk in that righteousness, and you walk in that holiness as the Spirit of God leads you. That's truth. Amen. That's okay. It's all right to have convictions. Amen. It's all right to live a holy life. We don't have to throw in everything that we believed and preached just because other people say, well, you know, this is a new day, brother. Amen. God's given us a new revelation. You don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. Well, truth tells me that's not right. My convictions, the Holy Ghost tells me that's not right. The Holy Ghost tells me that the Lord has said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. There are so many verses that teach separation and holiness. And that is our identity as the people of God. Amen. And so it's time, if you're right, just keep on being right. If you're right, just keep on being right. Truth is eternal. It doesn't change. Amen. Well, get with it, brother. These are new times. Well, truth is eternal. It does not change. If it was true in the beginning, it's true now. It'll be true tomorrow. Amen. If it was truth in the day of the apostle, it's truth in our day. It does not change. Truth is eternal. There are some things that change. We change methods, and that's okay. We can change a lot of things, but don't change truth because it does not change. It stays the same. It doesn't change. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It doesn't change. Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Truth does not change. It's eternal. Amen. So heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall not pass away. It's eternal. The Bible says that not one accent mark or one punctuation point is going to change or pass away. It's going to stay the same because truth is eternal. Does not change. Praise God, truth is powerful. It can change us. We don't change truth, but truth can change men. Praise God. Jesus, we read this to you just a moment ago. John chapter 8, Jesus said, listen closely. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Now there may have been more people in the crowd that day than those that believed on him. There may be some here tonight that really don't believe what I'm saying. But the Lord speaks to those that believe on him. If you believe on him, he's the one that he's talking to. Isn't that amazing? In the same crowd, people hear the same words, but some people hear truth, and others do not. Some walk away convicted and convinced and changed. Others simply walk away angry. After service one night, I went to a visitor. He's never been there before, and I said, how did you, enjoy the service tonight. She looked at me. Her eyes were flashing. She said, I'm mad. I'm going to go get my brother and he's going to come up here and beat you up. She had to hurry because I was gone. Truth don't make you stupid. Amen. You see, she heard truth. All the people heard truth and shouted and had church and said amen, and it just made her mad. Amen. It affects people different ways, doesn't it? It upset one crowd so bad that they picked up rocks and stoned the preacher to death. And all he did was preach truth. Truth's powerful. I said truth is powerful. Amen. Jesus said, he said to those that believe on him, listen closely, he said, if you continue, everybody say continue, in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Everybody say continue. You got to continue. Amen. You can't just get in it for a few days and get out of it, but you got to continue. You can't stop. There's no place to turn around. There's no place to give in. There's no place to give up. You got to continue. And he said, if you continue, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you see, folks, we got to continue in this. We can't stop. We can't turn around. We can't quit along the way. We know truth and we've got to continue in it. There's something interesting about truth. Most people, you know, you reach a place in life where you have to receive truth for yourself. I grew up in the United Pentecostal Church. It's all I've ever known. I was taught it from the time I was a baby. And I came up through the Sunday school classes. And I was taught Acts 2:38 in Sunday school class and through the youth class and all of that. But you know what? I had to receive it for myself. And just because Mama believed it, and just because Pastor believed it, and just because Sunday school teacher believed it, and I had confidence in them, but I had to receive truth for myself. I had to reach a place at some point where truth went from my head to my heart. And that happened to me. I found a time when I searched the scriptures for myself to see if what I was being told was the truth. I got to a place where I got bold enough, Brother Bacon, that I said, now you may have told me that, but I'm going to see what it really says. And you know what? It was the truth. And so if you know truth and you're founded on truth, you don't have to be afraid of people when they question. I've heard people say, don't ever ask God why. My question is, why? He's big enough to take it. Amen. God can handle your questions. I said, God can handle your questions. It's all right. Seems to me, Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God can handle your questions. Amen. I've heard people say, well, boy, if you say that about God, he might strike you dead. I don't think so. God can handle your questions. Amen. I'm not afraid of people that have questions. I'm not going to claim to have all the answers, but I sure have a lot of them. Amen. And when it comes to salvation, I have all it takes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But everybody comes to a time, and this happens in adolescence usually. You know, adolescence is... it's when you wake up one day and you've suddenly been crowned with omniscience and you know everything. Mark Twain had a theory. He said when a boy turns 12, he said, put him in a barrel and put a hole in the barrel and feed him through the hole. He said, and then when he becomes 18, plug the hole. That was his theory on boys. Because they reach a place where they question things. But that's normal. And hear me, church, we don't need to be afraid of that. I said, we don't need to be afraid of that. Young people, if you have questions, ask them. I'm not afraid of questions. Because if you have truth, you don't have to fear questions. It's okay. If you got them, amen, go ahead and get them answered. So you can get founded on truth. Amen. I'd a whole lot rather you'd ask questions of me than somebody that doesn't know the truth. Amen. You got them? Ask them. Amen. We're not afraid of questions around here. Amen. The prodigal son, remember? Boy, he got to a place in his life. He said, I'm getting out of here. He said, as soon as I get old enough, I'm going to take my share of daddy's stuff. Well, that wasn't what he said. He said, give me the portion that belongs to me. Nothing belonged to him. That was daddy's stuff. Wasn't his. People have the wrong idea about inheritance. What mom and daddy has one day is going to be mine. Well, maybe one day if there's any left. I like it. There's an advertisement when I was in South America on the sign. It said, fly first class. If you don't, your kids will. People have the wrong idea about inheritance. They think it's something that you owe them. It's not something. If it's your stuff, you don't owe it to anybody. It's your stuff. Now, you can't take it with you. So if you're wise, then when they get old enough, you start slowly turning things over so that they know how to handle it. And a lot of people blow it as soon as they get it because they don't know how to handle things. Wisdom is you see how they do with a little bit. And if they blow that, then you say, you're not mature enough. You don't get any more until you grow up a little bit. Woo! Boy, you're meddling now, Pastor. How in the world do we get into all this? Amen. But let me get back to the prodigal son. So he comes and he says, give me the portion that belongeth to me. And the sweet old daddy said, all right, here it is, son. And the Bible said he took it, and man, he went out and he had himself, I guess, a high hill time. Somehow he wound up broke. Amen. And I'm sure that he tried it. I don't have nobody telling me what to do anymore. I don't have any curfews. I go to sleep when I want to go to sleep. I get up when I want to get up. If I don't feel like going to work, I don't have to. Nobody telling me what to do. Amen. If I want to party, I go party. Ain't nobody telling me I can't go anywhere. Anywhere I want to, I'm big enough to go, I'll just go. Amen. Nobody's holding me back. Woo, I'm free. Really free. Until the money was gone. And then he found out there's no such thing as free. He went and got him a job slopping hogs. And for a Jew, that's as low as you can go. Slopping hogs. And then all of a sudden, one day, the light came on. He was getting ready to get down there and elbow his way to the trough. And the light came on. And suddenly he said, in my father's house, the servants have more than enough. I will arise and go to my father's house. Amen. And I will say to my father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he got up and he started his journey. Hear me today. The greatest freedom that you'll ever have is the freedom to come home. Don't you ever get out there and feel like you can't come back. Don't you let the devil tell you that you've gone too far. The greatest freedom that God ever gives is that you can come home. How do you get there? Well, the same place you left. The same altar where you started is the same altar where you start again. Amen. The same God that you served is the God that you come back to. And so the greatest of all freedoms is the freedom to go home. And so he comes back. Praise God. Truth opens the way to God. Wasn't that what brought him back? Truth? Was it not a fact? He said, in my Father's house, you know, even the servants. It was a fact. It was a truth. It was truth that brought him home. And he came back. And it opened a way. The Father welcomed him with open arms. Amen. He didn't receive him as a servant. He received him as a son. And that's how God receives us. As dear children. Not as mere servants in his household. Amen. There's only one way to get to God. And that's through truth. Somebody said, I feel this is the right way. It's not about feeling. Somebody said, I think it's this way. It's not about thought. Somebody said, well, if I do enough good works, God's got to receive me. Says who? There's one way to God. Truth. Truth. Truth always brings people into the presence of God. It's in truth. It's in truth. That's what brings us to the Lord. The truth protects us, does it not? And I said, truth will protect you. Truth will keep you. People believe all kinds of weird stuff. When we were in South Texas, there was this horrible, gruesome cult just across the border in Mexico. And some young people had come down on spring break and got over there and got to partying and stuff. And several of them disappeared. They found them. This cult had murdered these young people. And all they found was some bones and a few things left over. And so they were trying, of course, to get this cult, but they're on the other side of the border. They can't go get them. You know how they busted that thing? There was this young man that came across the border to the United States to buy some things that they needed that they couldn't get. And the witch doctor was over the whole thing. He did this hocus pocus. And he said, now when you come back across the border, you'll be invisible and they'll not be able to see you. And he believed that. He believed that. So when he was coming back across the border in his automobile, they saw him. And they stopped him. And he was shocked. He was like, you can't see me. But truth never lies to you like that. Truth will protect you. It would protect you. Well, Brother Grissom, what about the martyrs, those that lost their lives? Truth didn't protect them. Yes, it did. Amen. There's worse things than death, folks. Did you understand tonight that death for the Christian is a promotion? It's not merely a departure from this life, but it's an arrival in the land that we're all trying to get to. There are worse things than dying. Truth, you can't destroy it. It will protect you even through death. Truth protects us. Truth is settled. It never, ever changes. Amen. Praise God. Hey, that's wonderful, isn't it? I thank God for that. Amen. I like the company that truth keeps. Truth walks with mercy. Amen. Praise God. Truth walks with mercy. Amen. In the scripture, Psalm chapter 86, verse number 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Hallelujah. Psalm 105 said, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. So mercy and truth, they're friends. I like mercy. And I love truth. Praise God. Truth and grace are friends, are they not? Amen. John 1 and 14, and the Word of God is made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth hangs around with mercy. Truth hangs around with grace. Amen. What is it saying? Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. You know a person by the company that they keep. Truth keeps good company. Truth keeps company with mercy. Truth keeps company with grace. Truth keeps company with love. Amen. Is that not a good thing? Amen. Ephesians 4 and 15 said, speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So truth keeps good company. Truth will judge us. Is it wrong to be, is it a bad thing to be judged? Oh no. Oh no. The Bible said that some people, truth judges them, and they send their sins ahead. Other people bring their sins with them to the judgment seat. When I get to the judgment seat, I don't want any sin hanging around me. I want to send mine ahead. How do you send your sins ahead? Just like Brother Jordan did this morning when he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and repented. Amen. Through repentance and through baptism, you judge your sins and you send them ahead of you to the throne of God. Amen. So truth judges us. Amen. And then the only place that truth really can abide, it needs to abide in your heart. It's not enough to have it up here. You got to have it down here. It has to affect your life. It has to affect everything about you. The Bible said, Psalm 56 and 1, it said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So you got to get heart truth way down in here. Amen. When we talk about love, it involves the heart, doesn't it? The Scripture says, love the truth. Love the truth. The truth about truth is that it's always truth. It's absolute. Never changes. It's eternal. Amen. It'll save you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm so glad I know the truth tonight. Amen. Praise. I'm so glad I know the truth tonight. Praise God. I'm glad I know this. I'm glad that I don't think that I came from some hairy ancestor that used to walk around with his hands dragging the ground, pulling a woman behind him by the hair of her head, headed back for the cave. Honey, it's supper time. I'm glad I don't believe that. Amen. That was some kind of amoeba that crawled up out of the slime and somehow developed into this glorious human being. Amen. No. I'm glad I don't believe that. I'm glad I don't believe that. I'm glad that I don't believe that I'm no different than a dog or a cat or a mouse. Amen. And that when it dies, that's all there is to it. Just kick it in a grave somewhere and forget about it, because it just, that's all there was to it. It just lived its short little span and nothing else to it. Oh, no, I don't believe that. Amen. The Bible says that we are God's, well, poema. We're God's craftsmanship. Amen. He made us in His image for His glory. Amen. We have purpose, not only in this life, but in life to come, eternal life. I'm glad I believe that. Thank God for truth. Thank God for truth. I read about an explorer. They had gone to a remote island and they had found some birds there that were unique, and they captured some of them and they put them in cages and cared for them, gave them the very best of care because they wanted to carry them home and study them. And as they made their trek across the vast ocean, one of those birds was very restless, and somehow he got out of the cage. And he suddenly flitted through the air and began to swim just as quickly as he could. He began to fly away from the ship. And the cry went up, we lost one. We lost one. And but somewhere toward evening, a speck appeared in the distance, and as they watched, and they were amazed, it was that bird. He was making his way back to the ship. And he made it back. He was exhausted. He was trembling. And he gently laid himself down on the deck. He understood something. The ship that he thought was a prison was really a refuge. And it was the only way that he was ever going to make it safely back to land again. Some people have left this old ship of Zion. They thought it was restriction. They thought it was fuddy-duddy. They thought it was old-fashioned. They thought, well, that's not for me. That's mom and daddy's religion. That's not for me. And they made their way. And then at some point they realized that all there is out here is more sea. What I thought was a prison really was a refuge. Amen. If you've left, it's time to come home. Amen. This is the only ship that's going to get you safely across to the other side. Amen. Truth is going to, it's what's going to take us through, folks, this old ship of Zion. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time. Amen. Do you love truth tonight? Do you love truth? It's got to be more than just know it. You got to love it. Amen. I've known folks that have walked away from it. A preacher that I admired as a young man. He was a tremendous, tremendous preacher. But I heard a tape some years ago, and he left this way some years ago. And he said, I don't preach certain things that, he said, I used to believe, but I don't believe them anymore. I don't preach them anymore. He said, I don't really want people listening to tapes from those years because I don't believe that anymore. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm so very sorry. Amen. You know what? I found this to be true and I still believe it. Brother Grissom, you still believe that a person has to believe in one God? Yes, I do. Do you still believe that people have to repent of their sins? Yes, I do. You still believe that people have to be baptized in Jesus' name? Yes, I do. You still believe that people receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Yes, I do. You still believe that people need to live a separated and holy life? Yes, I do. Amen. Because that's what I find here. And I can't preach anything else. I can't find anything else. It's just, that's all that's here, folks. That's what's here. Amen. Well, what about so-and-so? Amen. They got a bigger church than you do. Well, that may be, but that doesn't change what's written in here. Well, he's a smarter man than you are. He's got more education than you do. That may be, but I can only preach what's in here. Amen. I can't go any further, and I certainly don't want to preach less. Amen. I got to still go by what's written in the Word of the Lord. Amen. So truth is still truth. Amen. And on truth, we still have to stand. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. It's still the truth. Still the truth. Praise God. I think it would be good if we'd affirm our truth tonight. You believe this? I think it'd be good to just reaffirm that in your own heart. And before the Lord, and even before this congregation, just to step out and make your way down to the front of this building and stand around this altar and lift up your face and lift up your hands to the Lord. Amen. And just tell Him how much you appreciate truth. Lord, I just want to come and stand here tonight and lift up my voice with the congregation and tell you thank you for truth. Amen. Thank you that we still believe Acts 2:38. We still believe that you're the only way. Amen. We still believe you, Jesus. Above all else, we still believe you. No matter what comes, what goes, what's said remains unsaid, the fact of the matter is, all that matters is truth. So I stand here tonight one more time and lift up my voice, my hands, my heart, and I tell you, Jesus, I believe you.
Oh, let the whole world say what they may.
I still believe.
No one can take.